Welcome. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. This is the show where brothers-in-law DJ Culp and Brad Coleman talk about stuff from our perspective as men. It's a show for anyone who wants to hear how Christians interact with the world. And don't worry, we're real. We've grown up in church, and we want to share our experiences with you. We'll talk life stuff, church stuff, man stuff, and stuff. Here we go. Greetings, listeners here and there and everywhere, all across the land. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, DJ Culp, as always here with my beloved brother-in-law, Brad Coleman. Brad, what's up, man?
I am excited that we had a great time of cross-country and football, and this week marks the we'll see you again next year. Saturday is the last football game of the season. This past week, Carrie Beth had her last cross country. So feel like we maybe get to take a deep breath here and there.
Yeah.
As that's ending.
Listeners, if you are new to the show, I need you to understand something about Brad. The way that he began his I am excited was actual excitement. I need you to understand that that Brad was not being facetious.
That's a very hard thing for me, because people have a hard time to know, like, was he being sarcastic and facetious?
No, he was not being sarcastic.
I'm also very literal. Like, I do like a little sarcasm, but like I feel like most of the time I'm just literal. I'm just speaking from my heart, from my mind.
That's right. Yes, you are, Brad.
A lot of times when people take it as sarcasm, it's not.
It's not sarcasm.
Like when sorry, I said that, I was just making an observation.
Brad, there's just too many mixed signals.
Yeah.
Yeah. So listeners, if you're regulars to the show, you're probably used to that. He's like, yeah, Brad really is excited. Listen to that. But listeners, if you're newcomers to the show.
Just think of me as a robot. I'm just a robot just spouting information.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, dude. So we're close to being done with soccer season with Noah. But I mean, October is almost over with, and I'm not dreading, but the next 2 weeks are going to be really busy. And so I'm just excited. I'm excited for all the performance opportunities that I have coming up. But I'm not excited for all the time that I'm going to be doing nothing but going from here to there and everywhere.
Your sister sent me this video this morning that was like, so I was just telling my husband, like, we just got to get through this week. And if we get through this week, then there's another week that we've just got to get through. Yeah. And, you know, it's just that continual. Okay, it's just one day at a time, trying to learn it. Sometimes one step at a time. So I tell people they're walking through grief, they're working through hard times. Like, look, yep. One breath, one step at a time. Just
adulthood is saying, this is a post, a Twitter post by Lecrae, the Christian rapper. Adulthood is saying, but after this week, things will slow down a bit. Over and over until you die.
Yeah. I love how you pointed out it was the Christian rapper, you know, opposed to the other Lecrae, you know, that I don't know, you know. Like,
right. Well, I didn't know Lecrae was. Yeah.
Not Lecrae, the Big Lots worker.
that's right.
Lecrae, the Christian rapper. You know, I didn't want you to get confused.
The Lecrae that's got the Walmart jacket on that says, how may I help you? So when you say, will you help me? They look at you with disdain and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yeah. It's like,
yeah, not that Lecrae.
Yeah, I really don't want to help you. Yeah. Dude, so on that note, completely unrelated to anything that the show is about right now, the last time that I decided to ask a Walmart employee, will you help me? They were walking around, and I was looking for something. I don't remember what it was, but I said, excuse me, can you help me find this? And, I had it pulled up on my phone. They took a look at it and they said, I think it's on aisle four. And then they proceed to walk me to aisle four, where they stand and just start looking. They just start staring at
Hey,
the
look, I'm like good on them. Hey, because I
like,
was expecting you to be like, and then they walked away. Like, I think
no, but
it's on all four. So,
what,
at least
like,
good on them. They're gonna go look for it with you.
okay, a two sets of eyes is better than one. I'll give you that, Brad. But I just remember thinking,
I'm just like,
dude,
there's some
I
effort
could do
there.
this. Yeah, like, I, matter of fact, I don't know if you know this, I was doing this.
Hey, like I just appreciate the effort, because I've been in so many times with customer service these days where it's like there is no effort. They almost look at you like that's my job. And I'm like, well, you do work here, don't
Yeah,
you?
right. Actually, yes, it is.
Actually, no, I just get a paycheck. I just come here.
That's
I
right.
try to look like I'm doing something and do the least amount
Yeah, so
possible.
like, and I don't, I know they're rare now. I don't know if you've noticed this, Brad, but the Walmart, how may I help you?
Oh, no, those are all but phased out most
They are
places.
so gone. Every now and then I'll see the how may I help you, but they are just blue vests. Yeah,
Right.
like.
And even if it says that, I mean, like that, it's not, it's like, how are you today? Most people say it, but they really don't want to
That's right. Yeah.
know.
Yeah. All right, so today's show is I'm trying to think of really how to frame it. It's like I've got it titled Fighting for the Family, but one of the things that I heard a while back, and I've got that running list, of topics. One of the things that kind of stuck out to me was, and understand that listeners, Brad and I are going to approach today's topic really more specifically from the stance of how a man should kind of do this. But, if you've listened to the show enough, you'll know that me and Brad, like, we are very much, the 100% man, 100% woman, both together serve each other. They both lead the family, in different ways, but they're both leaders nonetheless. And so I don't want you to think, okay, well, today's just about guys. It's actually not, but I definitely think that the man, that the male needs to be the one that puts the idea of fighting for the family on his shoulders and bears the brunt of really kind of what we're gonna get into today. But Brad, as an opener question, what are topics that would cause your parents to get into arguments?
Topics that would cause my parents to get into arguments.
Yeah. And actually, let me ask you this even before you answer that. Did you see your parents argue much? I don't know if that's a yes or a no. Like,
I think like small scale, like arguments and disagreements, I tended to see more with my parents.
Okay.
I think some of the more heavy stuff they would do behind the bedroom door,
Got it. Yeah.
and I think they tried to keep a lot of the heaviness of things off of us.
Right.
I mean, like I figured out that we were poor, and sometimes my parents would tell me, but like I think I realized more as an adult just how much my parents did to just make ends meet. And extra
Yeah.
things that they did on the side, and those things. Let me tell you what, for me, this is humorous. And if you knew my mom, or if you know my mom, and if you knew my dad, wasn't humorous for him. And I totally side with my dad on this, by the
Okay.
way.
Yeah. For the
Love you,
record,
mom.
listeners,
If you're, yeah,
you heard it
mom,
here.
I love you, mom, if you're listening. And my mom, I think, knows too. My dad would work overnights. Sometimes when I was really young, he would work And basically that kind of come home on the weekend. He was at times he was working coal mines a couple counties over.
Is that what swing shifts are? Is that swinging? Swing shift?
It's not the way I would define it,
Okay.
but anyway, I remember this. I remember seeing the video because I was really young when the video was made. And it's a video from my mom's perspective. I think my aunt is videoing it, and my mom is on the phone. My mom has taken me and my brother and went with her mother and my aunt to visit my other aunt in Florida. Right.
Okay.
We grew up in Kentucky.
Yeah,
Right.
right.
So we're from Eastern Kentucky to the Panhandle of Florida, about 13 hours, I think, away. And she's calling my dad to let him know that's where we are for the next 2 weeks.
No. Oh. Oh my gosh. I don't know how to take that. Holy
Yeah, I mean
crap, Brad.
that's just
Dang.
it.
Oh.
It is a testament to how much my dad loved my mom. That's what
Oh,
it is.
man.
He did not, he was not happy. He was not happy.
Oh, wow.
Not at all. But he was a very loving, long-suffering man. Yeah, like I've had that conversation with that was that like I that would not have
No,
flown.
no.
And again, I don't know that she did that. I mean, she certainly
You, I mean, you don't do it by
didn't happen
accident,
more than
but
once or twice. No, she did not do it on accident. Not at all. In fairness, for those of you who are listening, my dad knew who he was marrying. All right, when he married her. My mom is very fiery. She's very independent. She's very, nobody going to tell me
Right.
what to do. But yeah, that's probably one of the biggest examples of. And yeah, I didn't even experience the fight. Like you can't really even hear my dad. You just see my mom's response. And again, I think she thought it was more funny. She'd probably still laugh about it. I could
I
just hear my
really
mom
hope.
saying, yeah, like, oh, your dad was so mad. He was so mad. But yeah, like so sometimes things like that. I remember my dad telling my mom one day that as we were having a discussion about people walking after dark up the road, and she's like, "I'll do it if I want it." And he was like,
No.
"Vanessa, you don't need to do that. Don't do that." Now she didn't. You know, he made his point with, you know, like, look, it's not safe.
Yeah, right.
You know, you don't need to be doing that. But my mom was very strong-willed of like, I can do anything you can do, and I can do it better, and don't tell me. Like, you know, they didn't have the term oppositional defiance.
Yeah, right.
But my mom, I think, is the poster
Nice.
lady for that. Again, and that's not to say that like she didn't. She certainly respected my dad as head of the house
Yeah.
and that. But there were things that she was going to. My mom wasn't going to be ruled by anybody, which I don't think is the biblical model anyway.
Yeah,
You
no
know, it's
doubt. No
a,
doubt.
but
In
I
either
think, yeah.
direction. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I could top that. And my parents were married until my dad died
Right.
and loved each other. And again, my dad knew what he was getting into.
That was not coffee table talk. That was not one of
Yeah.
those. I'm guessing that, like, what do we talk about now? Oh, hey, remember that time? Yeah. No, don't bring
Yeah, I'm sure he got
that
upset
up.
every time
Yeah. Yeah,
that
right.
it brought up.
Yeah.
But
Well, I mean, listeners, if you're regulars of the show, you may have picked up on this. I mean, because it doesn't surface often, but every time it surfaces, it's always the exact same. For my parents, and Brad already knows this, for my parents, there is one thing that you do not talk about in the presence of both of them, and that it would be politics. Dad is an adamant Republican. And I'm going to say that mom is a very, very loose liberal. right? Like, or casual liberal, nominal liberal.
I would say, like, but not in the sense of today's idealism. I
No,
think
that's very
that your
true. Yeah.
mom kind of
She's a
grew up
casual Democrat. Yeah.
with it, right? She grew up with the more of the old idealisms of the Democrats
That's true. Yeah, I
than
mean,
like today's,
yeah,
like,
so
like 30 years ago,
right. Yeah, my mom, like my
more of
mom's
the
a,
topics of the
she's a I guess, is she a
when it
boomer or is she a
comes to
Gen Xer? I
union,
think she's a Gen
yeah, right.
Xer.
When it comes to like unions and
Yes, yeah.
taxes and those
Right.
kind of things, not this
Right.
this gender politics and all this today.
Correct.
Like she's
Very,
definitely
very, yeah,
very
very true, and I appreciate
conservative on
that.
that standpoint.
Yeah, very conservative. But yeah, she grew up Democrat. Dad grew up in a military household. I guess they both did, but dad far more military household than mom. And I mean, dad would just yell. Dad would just, Missy, and then just dive into why she's wrong. And I mean, when you're around it, you just kind of get used to it. Like dad was not abusive, so listeners don't think about anything like that. But I mean, if dad was going to be right, he was absolutely going to make sure that everybody understood he knows what he's talking about. And so one of my favorite moments, Brad, was actually in the last 5 or 6 years, you, me, and dad were in the boat. We were gonna go fishing. We were headed out of Ken Lake Marina. We listeners, we hadn't even gotten into we hadn't gotten out of the no wake zone. We were very close to the marina, and I said something about, about like a politically charged topic, but it was really saying it just, very innocently. And before Dad could say anything, Brad just said, "DJ, don't you think it's a little early in the day to bring a topic like that up? We haven't even started fishing yet." So, all right. So, yeah, one of the reasons that I asked that question was, just to kind of get us primed and get the audience thinking about, things that like maybe annoyed us, but at the same time, are not absent of spouses loving each other. 'Cause I think it's really important. I think it's really important to acknowledge that, like, there's abuse fights, but there's fights that are, I'm not gonna say, I mean, they are fun loving, but I mean, they can get kind of heated, but in a silly way. Everybody understands that at the end of the day, whatever we're arguing about doesn't actually really matter that much.
And there's no perfect family. There's no
Correct.
perfect marriage. There's no perfect family. Everybody's got their baggage. Everybody's got the things they're healing from. And so, it's those kind of things. You just got to acknowledge that they exist. And so if you're expecting there to be this perfection, you're in for a world of hurt.
Right. But you're exactly right. But the topic today deals with like how men and how family units really kind of, excuse me, really are able to, how do I say it, Brad? I'm gonna edit that out. Our topic today is about how families need to kind of protect each other from what Satan has waiting for them. And so, let me like kind of open up our conversation, Brad, with the question, that I sent you. How does the church play a role in fighting for the family? And I guess we need to kind of, I guess we need to really define what we're talking about in terms of fighting for the family at this point. Regarding like bringing up young, right? Teaching kids how should husbands and wives interact with each other regarding morals and values. And so thinking about that way, like we're fighting for the family unit, we're fighting for the integrity of the spiritual nature, as Christ mentioned in the house. It's sort of that perspective. So the question, how does the church play a role in fighting for the family? specifically being a senior pastor. I'm sure that you don't have much to say about this at all.
Yeah, well, first, I think we need to biblically define the family, and like we got to stand on biblical truth because God is the one who established the family unit, right?
Agreed.
In the beginning, there's Adam, and it's not good that man be alone, and so he makes Eve, and then there's the children, and there's the hierarchy, and it's looking at the truth of how God lays out the family. Right. So a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two become one flesh. Right. So between a, family, God defines as a husband and wife, and then their children. And then they're, the children are to grow up and leave. Right. Man's going to leave his family. So it's not to say he doesn't visit. But he's going to become his own family dynamic. And so I think we've got to look at and biblically, what does that look like? I think we've got to defuse these ideas that are false, right? Because they're on both sides from the standpoint of what are these roles in the relationship, and what does that mean, and what does that look like? And so, the husband is not the dictator of the family, right? He's the leader. He's not even the boss of the family.
That's exactly right.
I think that's a co-role with husband and wife is, yes. I've told my kids, I was like, well, I'm sorry, we are your boss. Like, until
That's
you are
right.
grown and on your own, your mother and I are your boss. Now, your mother's not my boss, and I'm not your mother's boss. But then the importance of the father being the leader, like I do have the lead role, which again, I think we've talked about before, is about special responsibility, not special privilege.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like I'm supposed to be leading my wife, and I'm supposed to be leading her in the biblical model of, as we're following Christ. And so I think we've got to get rid of some of these ideologies of what it looks like that are false, whether they be, oh, you don't have to, like, oh, husband and wife aren't important. Yes, they are, but also just we just gotta see what does God say? What is his truth? And let's dig into it and make sure we're understanding it correctly. Right. And I think when we skip around and do what your dad would call like a kangaroo gospel,
Yeah, kangaroo
right? That's
theology, right?
Kangaroo theology. That's where you get in trouble when you go, oh yeah, see this, and this. Well, yeah, if you take that out of context, that's what it sounds like. And you can start to make your argument for that. But God did not make woman less than man. She is joint heir in God's kingdom just as much as the males are. And again, just when we look at Jesus was submissive to the Father, but Jesus is not less than the Father. And I think you've got to look at those things. So we've got to get rid of misunderstandings, whether they come from the world or whether they come from inside the church, and look at what God's model for the family is and the importance. So I think that's the first, is that just the truth. It's just
and to continue that, kind of to continue that logical progression, Brad, something that I got to thinking about while you were talking, I think there's a natural error that I didn't pick up on in the question, how does the church play a role in fighting for the family? I mean, it's not a natural error, but I think there's a connotation. It's almost like I'm trying to frame the church as being a leader in the life of the family, which I'm not going to say is necessarily wrong, but like it's up to the parents, it's up to the husband and the wife to actually represent a larger part of like religious and spiritual authority above the church. And the reason I say it that way, and I'm not, and like, yeah, I'm just going to outright say this, like our pastor, when I see his role to my family, our pastor does not have spiritual authority over my household. right? He has spiritual authority over the church. And when I say spiritual authority, like, and I don't want to get into the semantics of it, but in terms of maybe I shouldn't say spiritual authority, but even then, like, influence, the family unit on the inside, in the inside of my family, it is my responsibility. It's my wife's responsibility.
I can't come into your house. I can't come into your house as one of my members and dictate the way
that's right
that you are spiritually leading your family
or lack thereof. That's exactly right.
Now I'm to speak into that. I'm to speak truth, and I should be prayer about it. And like I have the right to, you know, when I see those things, I have more so than the right, the responsibility.
Responsibility,
to
sure.
Try to speak the truth into that,
but at the same time, and I'm.
I think what you're trying to say, DJ, and is, well, let me phrase it, put it this way.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right, I, as the pastor of First Baptist Murphy, am not the spiritual leader of the individual households that come to First Baptist Murphy that are
members.
Like, I'm not.
That's right.
The spiritual leader in that home should be the husband.
That's right.
And again, and then supported spiritually by the wife in that hierarchy.
That's right.
Right?
That's exactly what I was saying.
I'm not that. I don't. Yeah. But so, now I'm supposed to help you see what that is and show you how to do that.
And that's how the church needs to play that role.
Well, so the second thing, I think the answer to the question, the first would be truth. The second is support, right?
Okay.
Is that the church needs to be in that role of supporting the family to look like the family is supposed to look and to function there,
mm-hmm.
right? So we should be doing things that are encouraging the family to look like the biblical model,
right?
And to help and support and to carry that burden.
Right.
You know, when it needs to be, and whether that's by prayer or counseling or, you know, spiritual guidance or physically coming and sometimes helping, you know, take care of things that, you know, stepping in when, hey, things can't be. So just that support, and we're looking at the way that we do our service, the way that we do our activities, that they are not in opposition to God's model of the family. Like, we're not cutting that down. I think one of the things that you see in TV,
mm-hmm.
right, that has really progressed, I think, mostly in our lifetime, DJ, right? And again, regardless of how people feel about Bill Cosby, right? The Cosby Show, Family Matters.
Dude, those are solid shows.
You know,
I loved watching The Cosby Show, man.
Like the role of the father in the family. It was a respected role. It was, you know, the father was an intelligent guy, not perfect, made mistakes, but you know, had this integrity,
loved his wife,
yeah,
that's right.
Led. And again, he was someone that you would go to for wisdom.
Yeah, right.
You know? And even when a lot of times the teenagers would be the teenagers and they're revolting against that wisdom. But in those good shows, it turned around and so they learned. And sometimes they learned together because, you know, sometimes dad needed to take a step toward changing. But again, oftentimes it was, look, dad has wisdom. Dad is the head of the house. And then you see that just progress into dad's a moron. Right. Most of the shows that I have seen more recently, especially those that are geared toward children, the dad is a moron.
Thinking about like the
mom
Simpsons.
May or may not be, but generally dad is. He's just a bumbling idiot. You know, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
He's the comedic relief almost.
Right, right.
He
he's just stupid. And I think that again just leads to that's then the way that some people are going to start looking at the father, at the role, as you know, he really is just, he's outdated and he's not very bright and
right. Well,
He
so
just
to that.
he's the one that learns that the kids are right in some of these kids shows, you know.
Yeah, right. And I think, Brad, to that point, I would willing to, I think I'd be willing to say that I think the there might be some like cultural temptation to kind of fall into that, but it's our jobs as fathers to ensure that if our kids see those shows, whether we want them to or not, if our kids see those shows, that we've got our priorities straight to where when they see those shows, they actually know it's only a joke. That this is not how reality actually is. Again, like I'm the first thing that popped into my head when you said that was The Simpsons. And like The Simpsons, I think is hilarious, but I understand fully from that particular perspective. Yeah, you know, this like Homer's not really respected in his own house, right? Is his and like he is, he's a bumbling idiot. And obviously that's the shtick, but it's our jobs again to make sure that we conduct ourselves not just behaviorally, but spiritually and emotionally, to where our children are aware that that right there is actually not reality. And you know, coming back to what you were saying, is that the church supporting that? I definitely agree. And I think it's a, and I'm not saying you're saying this, Brad, but I think it's a very churchy answer to say that the church needs to support the family and provide the same kind of values that we would expect them to provide. You know what I mean? And I loved how you started listing things that the church that the church should do and the church does as a way to help reinforce that. Because one of the things that in the last, I mean, I guess really since Cher and I have had kids, you know, and obviously that thrusts you in a whole different season of life.
You think you know,
You think you know, and then your children, then you
but
don't.
you don't. You
Yeah.
don't. You
But
don't have any idea.
one of the ways that that I have seen our church come alongside not just me and Cher, but come alongside the family unit in the way that you're saying, you know, fighting, helping to helping demonstrate and model fighting of the family, is or fighting for the family is by way of like when I say discipleship, I'm not just talking about like men's Bible study, women's Bible study, though those fit into it, but I'm talking about like promoting and advocating for people that are in the same seasons of life to get together and live life together. And I'm not even talking about Sunday school. I'm just or a small group. I'm just talking about we need people in the church to get together and like feed off of each other. Like I learned so much about parenting, not just from watching my wife and not just from being one, but from being around other people that have kids the same ages as ours. And that will that helps me go, oh, well, I swear to you, those are better parents than me. I know they are. And their kids are doing the exact same thing that mine are doing. You know, and I mean like that's a small little example, but I think it's I think that that kind of discipleship is definitely a way that the church plays a role.
Well, so I think another like level that we've got to bridge, all right? Because right now we've been looking at defining and supporting the family, mom and dad, kids,
Right.
right? So how do we as the church help those, support those that they don't live in that, right? A single mom who has three kids, single
Yeah.
dad who has kids. You know, mom and dad who are divorced and
Right.
co-parenting, mom and dad who are divorced and dad's nowhere or mom's nowhere, you know, kids who are coming and they're in foster care. So mom and dad are either choosing not to be involved or can't be involved because they're incarcerated or they were seen as unfit.
Yeah.
How do we as the church then again still follow the biblical model, but minister to those families? And I will tell you, there's a lot more of those families out there than there are
Just
in
nuclear
God's
families, yeah.
model. Yeah, nuclear. We'll go with that. Nuclear. We'll call it nuclear family. Yeah. So being in youth group, teaching, like being a youth pastor for 7 years, like I saw more of that, more of the, I hate to just frame it this way, but more of the broken family than the nuclear family. And so, having to do that. And I think part of that answer is when we look at what the way that God is telling us to treat one another in Christ, right? So, young men, don't harshly rebuke an older man, but see him as a father. Older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, than brothers. It's that when we look at the family of God as the family, and we set out to be as best we can, because I'm going to tell you, there's not fully a substitute for just the strong nuclear family. But you can be a father figure and change the lives of young men if you're willing to step in. I think one of the things I learned as a youth pastor, though, is that it is you're not you're fooling yourself if you think it's that you're going to fully fill that role.
No way, no way. Yeah, no way.
But I
But
think that the willingness to step up and show these young men who don't have a positive male influence in their life what it looks like to be a biblical man.
and I would totally agree with you, Brad. I'm so with you that the church, if it's not, it needs to be a place where it's overt, but it's not like planned actions where young guys are able to look across, the sea of faces in their church and pick out people and say, that guy right there, that man is a godly man. That guy right there loves Jesus with all his heart. There's no question. That guy's a Christian, but I don't really think that I'd want to be around him for that purpose. Maybe some other things, but if I want to know what it's like to, to be a biblical man, to be a godly man, to be a Titus man, right? To be a Pauline man, to be a David's man, God's or man after God's own heart. If I want one of those guys, I think you're exactly right that the church needs to be the safest place outside of their own home. And if it's not there, then the church needs to be the safest place where they can go and they can say, and this person or these people are the ones that I will be able to learn that from. And in saying that, Brad, hey, guess what?
What?
It's coffee time.
Coffee
Coffee
time.
time. Coffee time. All right, let me cue the music. Do-do-do-do-do. Okay, cool. So, everyone, we are in a collaboration with the North Jackson location of Green Frog Coffee Company. I love this place. You've heard me talk about it before, but Green Frog Coffee Company, they're open all day long. They are a wonderful coffee house. The vibe there is super hip. I love going there and grading or planning. I play with the Jackson Symphony and I'll go there oftentimes if I've got to do if I've got to do musical planning and divide instruments and whatnot. I mean, it's a wonderful place. Great, great, great coffee drinks. Their food is equally as good. They've got a pumpkin roll that is excellent. Their burgers are some of the best that I've had in Jackson. They are they're wonderful people, wonderful service. With the coupon code for today's show, if you present Fight for Family, all no numbers, no numbers, guys. Coupon codes don't have numbers for Green Frog. Fight for Family, you can receive $2 off your order. And Brad, this is something that I haven't realized. But you can not only have $2 off your order in the store, you can also have $2, I'm going to talk now, $2 off your order if it's online. So all meals, all drinks, $2 off all day long. So we come alongside Green Frog Coffee Company. We totally support what you guys are doing. We thank you so much. And by the way, their coffee, they are a coffee shop that's built on Christian values with coffee so good that even a snowman would drink it. So fight for family is our coupon code for today. So Brad, let's jump back in. All right. So question number two that I've got here. And this is something that I think, Brad, what you mentioned about like in our generation, sort of the decline of the father figure in I'll paint with an even broader brush, the decline of the father figure in pop culture. How's that? Is that fair? The second question here is, why is it tempting to give our armor to someone else to fight for the family? And I want to dive in first to say, I think there is something very sexy. There's something very socially tempting about going along with the crowd. And as unbelievably treacherous the landscape is, being like a ship being tossed by giant waves, as our society all of a sudden just randomly decides, hey, you know what? We were wrong on this. This is right now. And 10 years later, 15 years later, 20 years later, we didn't know what we were talking about. This is right now. And as like the like what if you can call it truth, you can call it morals, you can call it ethics, values, whatever the case is, freedom. The idea that our society just shifts back and forth and left and right. I think there's something really attractive about the thought of, well, if I just go along with the crowd, I'm not going to stick out like a sore thumb. I'm not going to have the issues that I will have if I plant my feet. But the problem is that we're not teaching our children anything outside of everybody else is right, you're wrong, just listen to everybody else. And I think personally, from that particular standpoint, I think that relates back to what we, the previous question that, if I rely on someone else to be the spiritual authority inside my house, I'm actually teaching the exact same thing. Now, it's bent a little different, but in principle, it's still not me that's doing it. And I would be willing to say that why is it tempting to give our armor to someone else to fight for the family? Because really, it means that everybody else has to do that kind of work. What are your thoughts?
So I would agree that in some cases, there are definitely those who are like, I just don't want to do it. I'm going to let somebody else do it. Right. And it's easier just let somebody else do it. I think the other paradigm and the one that's being sold a lot, though, is the idea that from those outside, we can do it better than you. You're not going to do it.
And
You're not going to do
that's
it
very true.
good.
Yeah. Thank you
And
for saying
so
that.
you're not going to do it well enough. So just let us handle it.
Yep.
Right. And again, like, in schools, we've run up with our kids where they send a permission slip home and it's like, they're going to have the sex talk with the kids. So I think on some level, it's like, hey, whether it's spoken or not, let us do the hard things. Let us have those conversations. You don't have to. You don't worry about it. Just let us do that. Because we're the professionals and we can do it better. And I think there's that side of dads that probably somewhat because of their confidence, because it's really easy to be not a very confident at a father, right? We've discussed before. Like it's a hard thing for us to say, I'm a good father, or I believe I'm a good father. And DJ, I would say that we're both good fathers, right? So, but yet it's hard for us to make that statement, right? And so I think then the powers that be on the outside are fighting to say, but you're really not. You're not prepared to have that talk. You're not prepared to do those things. So just let us do it. And so it's easy, I think, for us to buy that lie and go, they're probably right. They're going to do a better job than me. I'll just let them do it. And I guess let me say, dads, they're wrong.
They're so wrong.
They're wrong. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to even be a theologian or super, even a super intelligent guy. Like, no one is going to speak stronger into your children's lives than you and your wife.
It's dude,
And
and that's so true, Brad. That's so true.
so you guys, God has called you, he's given you this stewardship to parent your kids, and you're not going to do it perfectly. And that's okay, especially if you own that you're not going to do it perfectly. And that you're willing to say sorry when you mess it up, but have those awkward conversations. Some of the most awkward conversations, and plural, right? Plural, have been those sex talks with my son. And I think it doesn't need to be the talk. I think it needs to be the talks or the conversation that is continued.
Just goes
Right.
on for, yeah,
I
right.
remember sitting in the garage, looking at Isaiah and saying, "You feel really awkward right now, don't you?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Me too." Like, this is just an awkward conversation. There's no way around it. Like for most of us, it's just going to be awkward. But then saying to my son, "But son, there's conversations that are important for us to have, even if they're awkward." And I think just taking that, it's like, look, if you're expecting that conversation to be not awkward, then you probably have an unrealistic expectation. So just embrace the awkward and have those conversations, have those hard conversations, and don't let somebody else take the responsibility that God has given you. Because at the end of the day, God's not going to go, "Oh, would you let somebody else do it?" Like, I think we're going to have to answer to him why we weren't the ones that stood up and said that.
So if there's anything about like in terms of like a centralized principle about, everything that you just said, Brad, if there's anything that I've really kind of locked onto in the last decade of my life, like as, working towards being like having a career as a collegiate educator, what I have found is that and I can't put my finger on it necessarily as to when I started noticing this. But regarding what you were saying, you're exactly right that outside entities are absolutely, they are so willing. I mean, at the ready, it's almost scary to be able to speak into, whether directly or indirectly, into our lives as parents, or into the family unit to say, we understand that you're trying, but we can do this. What I have found is that there is a false narrative that comes out of that. And listeners, if you're thinking, so DJ, where are you really getting this? I'm sorry, I can't actually give you an exact reference. I can't. And so take this for what it is. But I've noticed that there's a false narrative that's actually like a subliminal undertone of that particular type of assertion. And that's this. If you ever get the notion that there's an outside entity that's saying, we can actually do this better than you. There is sort of this undercurrent, this like hidden narrative that we only have part of it right. First and foremost, I need you to understand that's actually fully correct because there's not a single person who has it completely right, except for Jesus. And if you're regulars of the show, you're used to hearing us say that. But what I need to say though is that every single human being is broken, and for any outside entity to say we can do this better is giving you the false narrative that they have it complete. You have it partial, they have it complete. You're speaking into your student into your kids' lives this way, or as educators, Christian educators, or educators who are Christians, you're speaking into your students' lives this way, but there's more to the story, and you're not going to actually accurately translate that. So let us do that for you. And the reason I call that a false narrative is because they are just as broken human beings as we are. Not one human being is more or less broken than another. So therefore, it's impossible for them to actually have that full narrative that they are trying to sell us. And I think that there is a that there's still there's this weird stipulation. And Brad, I know I've said this, I haven't said it much, but I know I've said it on the show before, that when I first got my doctorate and people asked me what I did, and I told them, I got a PhD in music education. There were conversations that actually did, if it didn't stop, it got really awkward. And I'm like, I'm not judging you. You should actually be the one judging me. I'm the one that went and like put myself through that, right? But the idea is that there's this like unwritten stipulation that people who are educated know more about life. Guarantee, and Brad, you've already alluded to this several times on the show. You know more about your own family than I ever will. And that is our responsibility as parents, is we can't give our armor up. Like, they do not know us. They do not know our kids. They do not know how God has orchestrated our family to be our family, right? I mean, I could tell you, I like to call it like spouses or couples testimonies. How was it that Sharon and I came to meet? How was it that all of that started? And for someone like for any culture to, on any level, to promote, you need to allow the culture, the larger idea, it could be a government or whatever, like it could be a school, whatever the case is, to speak more directly into your family than you. That's giving the armor away. I need to say this as a caveat. I am not advocating homeschool over public school, nor am I advocating public school over homeschool. That's not the argument. So yeah.
I think you're right.
I like that, Brad. Thank you. Do you want to say it again?
I think you're right
Yes.
in this instance.
In this instance, I appreciate that. I don't even get that twice from Shara. She might say, every now and then, she might say, "Well, you were right." And most of the time I have to like encourage that out of her, but she won't ever say it again.
Who was right? Who was right?
All right, dude. So we've got more questions, but our time's up, man. So listeners, we all know, like Brett and I know, that these topics a lot of times are just way too big, which is one of the reasons why we love doing it. We know for a fact Brett and I are going to run out of time. That's the beauty of being able to do this kind of thing. So listeners, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We absolutely love that you're tuning into the show. We hope that you've enjoyed what you've heard. A lot of tough stuff. I mean, to be quite honest, we may try to oversimplify it, but I mean, really, like, it's hard stuff. I mean, and this kind of topic that can tend to lean to a controversial nature can also be tough. But you guys know what to do. Follow us on our Facebook group page. You can follow us on Instagram. We actually now have a Twitter, or formerly known as Twitter, it's X account. And I'm a dinosaur. I'm doing what I can with social media. I'm not very good with it, but we're working towards it. Remember, guys, our code is Fight for Family, that you can take to the North Jackson location, Green Frog Coffee, $2 off your order. Let us know. Please interact with us. Brad and I absolutely love it when you guys comment and you guys let your voice be heard on social media. We have an email account. We haven't talked about that in a while, but we have an email account, menchurchstuff@gmail.com. That's menchurchstuff@gmail.com. Let us know some of your thoughts on different shows. If you have ideas or topics that you want us to talk about on the show, we'll definitely include those. Brad, just to let you know, I had a student who loved the Mad Libs of Psalm 23, that she said that if she had the time, and I want her to do this, that she's going to sit down and do one from Jude, or from Job for us. So listeners, if you have Mad Libs that you want us to read, send them our way. We'll incorporate them on the show. But other than that, Brad, I love you, buddy.
Love you too. We love you guys.
Listeners, we love you. And we will catch you next time.